Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Tonight, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if that's a new term to you, I want to give you a lot of peace. It's a biblical term. In fact, the scripture refers to this term as either being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, receiving or being given the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and the Holy Spirit being poured out. Lots of different terms referring to the same reality, and that is going from not full of the Holy Spirit to full of the Holy Spirit, and even in a moment. And what I want to do tonight is tell you a little bit of my testimony, because I came from such a skeptical point of view about what this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, and share a little bit of my journey, and then share a bunch of scripture that will hopefully help us get a little bit of a foundation for what it is that that the Lord's plan is and desire is regarding His Holy Spirit for us. One thing I'll point out is that if it's in the Bible and it's talking about the Holy Spirit, we can trust that it's good. Whatever it is, if it has anything to do with the Holy Spirit and it's in the Bible, we don't have any question about whether it's a good issue or a bad issue, because the Holy Spirit is the good Spirit. He's the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit. And so He's not an evil spirit. He's not a questionable spirit. You don't need to wonder about His character references. The Holy Spirit is the good Spirit of God. And so anything that has to do with His work, His ministry, His nature, if we can find it in the Word of God, we can trust that it's good. And so that's so helpful, because I know that many of us may come from different backgrounds or traditions that had different ideas about the Holy Spirit. And when we hear that term, baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes that can be a taboo term, and it shouldn't be. Because what we're talking about really is an impartation, a work of the Holy Spirit that He so loves to do. And He's not scary, He's not weird, He's not frightening, He's trustworthy and good. And so anything that He wants to give us is a good thing. Well, a little bit on my story. Some of you guys may know this, so try not to fall asleep. But when I was 18, I came to know the Lord as an atheist. The Lord just radically encountered me, and I became a not atheist very quickly. When the Lord showed up in my room, when His presence showed up in my bedroom, and I encountered the Lord in a very real and powerful way. And from that moment on, I was very much a follower of the Lord, and in a growing manner. Well, I was saved in the context of a Baptist church. That's the church that I started attending right after I had that encounter, and subsequently heard the gospel about Jesus and how He forgives our sins. And so I became just a hungry follower of Jesus at 18 years old. And I didn't know any better, so I just started reading the Bible. I was reading it a lot, because I just thought that's what you do if you're a Christian and you don't know any better, and you grew up an atheist and you don't know any of the Bible stories. You better get yourself in the Bible. And so I was reading the Word, and I was hungry. And a little bit later, just even a few months later, this crazy man of a youth minister let me start interning for the youth ministry that I was saved into at the end of my senior year over that summer. And that was just a wild card of a decision on his part, because man, that could have gone either way, is all I'm saying. And it turns out it worked out okay, but man, that was a gamble on that guy's part. And so I honor Chris Pollard and his brave decision to let a wild youth named Brad at the age of 18 start interning in the youth group. So I start serving, and they start me off at the bottom of the totem pole. You know, I'm filling Coke machines, and we're calling that ministry, you know. And, I'm cleaning off tables, and we're calling that ministry. And every now and then, they'd let me actually greet people, ministry. You know, they wouldn't dare let me actually teach, which was probably a smart decision. But so I start, you know, helping out in that capacity. And my point is, in this period of time, I am growing in an understanding of the Word. I am spending time with Jesus on a daily basis. I am hungry. I'm growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And I have never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. I do not know what that term is. And I've been reading the Bible. I probably read over the term a few times. Never even dawned on me to ask a question about what in the world that was. But I was growing in Jesus. I was a hungry follower of Jesus Christ and pursuing Jesus as best as I knew how, and was making headway, I'll tell you. And then I had the surprise of a lifetime when I encountered the Holy Spirit in a way I had not yet encountered the Holy Spirit. Some friends invited me to this conference. And I show up at a conference over in Fort Worth, and they start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and my ears are kind of perked. That sounds cool. And they start talking about, the presence of God, and I'm like, yeah, presence of God is good. We like that. And then they begin to do some ministry time, and I'm seeing people get healed in front of me. I'm watching it happen, going, oh my gosh, and the presence of the Lord is in the room in a really sweet way, and I am blown away. I mean, I'm just starting to tear up. This young lady walks over to me, and she begins to read my mail. I don't know if you've ever had anybody do that before, but it is a bit unnerving, especially your first go-around. You didn't know it was real 5 minutes ago. This gal starts telling me all the secrets of my heart. She starts telling me the Lord is, wanting to do this in your life. He's speaking to you about this and this and this. And I am shocked, because I'm like, how in the world do you know these things about me? Well, the truth is, she didn't know those things, but she knew the one who knew those things. And so the Holy Spirit had revealed to her a number of details about my life that were spot on, that nobody knew. It was just wild. And that caused me to be all the more receptive to whatever the Lord might want to do. I mean, man, there was already some good things going on down front. Felt presence of the Lord in the room. That was really sweet. Then this gal comes over and starts prophesying to me, starts telling me details of my heart. Man, I am an open book at this point, a big, wide target. I've got the bullseye on my chest. Lord, do whatever you're going to do tonight, kind of a posture. It's a good place to find yourself in, actually. Well, in that moment, all of a sudden, without anyone saying anything to me, I began to feel the presence of the Lord rest on my physical body in a way I can't explain. I'd never experienced anything like it before. My body began to shake. It wasn't violent, but just shake and quake, and I'm looking at my hand, and then I'm looking at this hand, and I took this hand to get this hand to try to get it to stop, and now both of them are shaking. I mean, it just trying to stop shaking wasn't working, is my point. And I felt the presence of the Lord all over me, and I'm like, I don't know why my hand's shaking, but somehow this is connected to God. It was really an odd thing for somebody who had no paradigm for such a thing. And I just felt waves of this presence of the Lord over me. It wasn't like I fell over. It wasn't like I felt like I was taken up someplace. I knew I was standing right there. I just felt this like marvelous sensation of the presence of the Lord resting on me. And again, I'm shaking in a way that I can't stop. Here I am at 18, football player, trying to get my hands to stop shaking, and they're not stopping. And I knew that that was a moment that was holy to the Lord. I didn't know exactly what all was going on. I just knew it was holy to the Lord. And a friend of mine walked up to me, and when she did, she just read this passage. It was really, really sweet. I was just glad that she did it this way, because it set me in such a good direction. And she said, do not get drunk on wine. This is Ephesians 5, verse 18. I don't have it in the PowerPoint. Sorry about that. Ephesians 5, 18. So do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And she just said that to me. She said, Brad, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, somebody's going to have to explain to me what that means later, because I thought I was already saved. And she looked at me, she said, no, you've been saved. You very much love Jesus. You're being filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, good. I kind of like it. Can we do this again tomorrow? Well, we'll work on that. So she was real gentle with me and kind of stepped me through the process. But what started to happen very shortly after that time was I began to see these different gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places besides. I began to see these different gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are powerful, which are fun, which are neat, which are incredible, exciting, useful for ministry, powerful to encounter the Lord and to be able to just accomplish His kingdom purposes, to be a witness. I began to see these things start to show up in my life, and they'd never been there before. Some of these things were totally brand new. Some of these things were things I'd heard about, read about, smiled when I read about, but never seen or experienced or touched. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit began to start showing up in my life. And when that friend of mine read me that little passage, she said, start praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So here she's making this little connection for me in my little framework, trying to process what's going on in my body and in my spirit at the moment. She's saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You just, Brad, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Start praying over the gifts of the Spirit that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and start asking the Lord to start giving you those gifts. And so I did it. And man, I'm telling you, those coming weeks and months, I started to see many of those gifts of the Holy Spirit start showing up in my life. It was really pretty cool. Now, part of the reason I wanted to share that encounter was because I think the Lord really, in a very kind way, knowing that that His plan for me was to be able to to have a teaching ministry of some sort for the coming years, I feel like in some way the Lord allowed me to experience things in that order as a teaching illustration, because I feel like there's some teachings and some false ideas about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that from some guy who knew nothing about nothing, I accidentally kind of stumbled forward in a way that I think many people can relate to. And that's this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and being saved by the impartation of the gift of righteousness into your spirit are two different things. Now, I've met people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit as soon as they accepted Christ. I've met people, but not most. It's two different experiences, and I'm not saying that they can't happen at the same day. I'm just saying most of the time they don't. And in my experience, I was saved, was pursuing Jesus, was growing in a hunger and a relationship, was reading the Word of God, was pursuing God, but there was so much more that I was missing. I had no idea I was missing it. I'd never even heard that I was missing anything. In the context of Christianity that I was in, there was no such thing as more. There was, you're doing it, Brad, you're going for it. And man, I was going for it. I was excited. Man, I got double excited when this thing happened to me. When I encountered the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, it really shifted things in my life. I'll give you a little illustration, if I can. And then we'll look at some scripture here, because I don't want to just talk about my experience, though I think that can maybe help as an on-ramp. I want to look at what the Bible has to say. One little last illustration here that might be helpful. Think about the difference between what it means to drink the coldest, coolest, purest glass of water on a hot summer day. Okay? It's so hot. You've been out, you've been mowing the lawn, whatever. You come in, and there's this just gorgeous drink of water. I mean, you just look at it, it's pure. The ice crystals are just glistening at you. You gulp, gulp, gulp. I mean, you're just down in this thing. And it just gets through your whole body, and you just feel so refreshed, right? Liken that to salvation. The Holy Spirit comes in you at salvation and cleanses you from your unrighteousness, gives you the gift of righteousness, and comes as a deposit to dwell within you. Awesome. Awesome. Now, after you've had that big drink of water, go do something different. Go jump in the pool. So you got a pool in the backyard. You had your big drink of water. Now you go jump in the pool. Completely different experience. Both of them are water, but this is different. This water isn't in you. This water's all over you. You're sopping wet with it. You get out of that pool and you do some of this. And you just splash your friend with what's on you. That is likened to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in either case. You drink that water, salvation. You become pure and cleansed. You have relationship with Jesus. You are authentic. You are not on the B team. You are an authentic believer in Jesus Christ. Because you receive salvation. You receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. But then you jump in that pool. And now your hair's wet. Your skin's wet. You even get a little pruney. You come out of that water and you're able to splash it, and you just, it's on you. It's a very different experience. You go and you give your friend a hug, and now they're wet. Whether they're happy about it or not, they are wet because you're wet. When you give them a hug, now they're wet. That's very different. I don't care how many drinks of water you take, you're not going to have quite that experience. You go give yourself, your friend a hug, they're going to be like, okay, quit hugging me. This is weird. But if you got water all over you and you get them wet, man, you ever done that? Sure you have. Get out of the pool and you're hunting for the one that is at just the right measure of appropriate or inappropriate to do this to. You know, it's like, well, they're on their way to work and they're in their business dress. Probably can't get that one. Ooh, that one just got off work and has no intention to get into the pool. That's the one. I'm hugging that one. You go and you give them a hug and they got this big wet U print on them, you know? Anyway, well, maybe it's just me. So the difference that we're talking about, same Holy Spirit, two different encounters. And again, I've met people that had both encounters the same day. I just have met a whole lot more people that it looked a little bit different. So let's look at some scripture, because that'd be helpful. What happens at salvation? Let's bring up that 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22. And there may be a second verse on that same slide. When we receive salvation, yeah, great. When we receive salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us as a deposit of heavenly realities. This is awesome. This is so awesome. When we come to know God, God comes and lives inside of us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And these realities we begin to encounter by the relationship of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So here's what the scripture has to say. 2 Corinthians 1. Now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. And he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. When you accepted Christ as your Lord, you became a new creation. And that new creation necessitates something new came into you and set up residence in your heart that wasn't there yesterday. The person of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed that message, you were marked in him with a seal. What's the seal? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Both these passages describing the same thing. You making a decision to follow Jesus. You hearing the message of truth and you responding and saying, yes, I am in. And when that happened, you became marked, you became saved, and God, in his great kindness, marked you by putting a deposit of himself inside of you called the Holy Spirit. That's what happened at salvation. But now, let's talk about this thing, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. This being filled with the Holy Spirit, this gift of the Holy Spirit coming on us. Let's look at this. Now, subsequent to salvation, and again, I've met some that it happened at their salvation. It just hasn't been my experience that that's the majority, at least in our culture. So, subsequent to salvation, we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that necessarily changes what life looks like. I mean, just think about the concept of staring at the pool, wanting to get in the pool, and the guy who just got out of the pool, and they do the slow-mo shot where he whips back his hair, and the hair, water's flowing back, you know. There's a very different reality between staring at that pool and that water versus coming out of that water. It's a different situation. Well, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, what winds up happening is manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our life. If you don't like that word manifestation, what it just really means is God showing up. If you just really want to break that down, God showing up and doing stuff that he wasn't doing yesterday in your life. And those, again, are connected to, can look a lot of different ways. The Lord can do whatever he wants to do. And sometimes he does things that wouldn't be what I would choose. Let's put it that way. Different expressions, different ways he can show up, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts of this guy that we're talking about, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, the outward expression is manifestations of power, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like when that gal came up to me at that conference and read my mail. How in the world did she do that? Well, she didn't. but the Holy Spirit activated in her life as a Spirit-filled believer. She was attuned to things of the Lord that just are kind of on another level. And as a result, she was able to minister to me powerfully in a way that she could not have done if she hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so being filled with the Holy Spirit is really about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in activation. I'll read you a couple of verses here on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, and then also Acts 1:4. Now check this out. And think about who this is that that Jesus is talking to in both of these categories, or both of these scenarios. Jesus has got his 12 guys, okay? They're really close. They absolutely love God. They absolutely, in their measure of their understanding, they are saved. If they died that day, they're going to heaven. They love God. They love Jesus. I mean, these guys are troopers. They're going for it. They laid down their life. Even you guys know the passage. Peter, asks the Lord, "Well, Lord, we've laid down everything for you. What about us?" And Jesus says, "Don't worry, boys. I'll take care of you. You guys love me. You're with me." My point. These were genuine disciples and Christians. They were lovers of Jesus. They were followers of Jesus, lovers of Jesus, obedient to Jesus. They were walking with Jesus. Christians. And here's what Jesus has to say in both of these cases here. Luke 11:13. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here's an interesting point. Jesus talking about the issue of the Holy Spirit coming as a gift. Like, who doesn't want a gift? And who doesn't want a God gift? I mean, this is a big deal. It's interesting that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are tied to the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving, but wait, there's more. Get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the gifts of the Holy Spirit come with the gift of the Holy Spirit, if I can be a little punny. Okay, your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Next verse. Now, this is Acts 1:4. Jesus, this is right before he ascends. All right, so he's there 1 minute. Next minute, he's going to fly up in the sky. So this is kind of like his last teaching, if you will, while he's with these guys in the flesh. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, hallelujah, resurrected Jesus eats. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command. "I'm going to command you guys something. It's really important, boys. You need to listen to me." "Okay, Jesus, what you got to say?" "Do not leave Jerusalem." "Okay, Jesus, why?" "Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so you know what these guys do? They were paying attention. They waited. They didn't leave Jerusalem. They all hung out in this upper room, this upper chamber. And they prayed and they sought the Lord and they waited for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 2, a passage we're probably all familiar with, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls on them. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak with other tongues. And they begin to prophesy. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're talking about guys that loved Jesus 5 minutes ago. I mean, they just spent days in a prayer meeting. I mean, we're talking about saved folk here. Okay? And these saved folk were pursuing God, but they were waiting a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And they waited in a posture of hunger and prayer, and the Holy Spirit fell on them and all those around them. That's pretty sweet. But it's also a principle. These guys were saved first, and then they sought the Lord, and they did like Luke 11:13 said. They were asking for this gift that Jesus had talked about. So Jesus said, "Wait here, ask for it, wait on it." They asked, and the Father did exactly what Jesus said the Father would do. He gave the Holy Spirit to those who asked for him to come. And so these guys are filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's this day of Pentecost. These guys were first saved, loving Jesus, and then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what the scripture says. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is so cool. They'd never done this before. You're talking about apostles, the guys that Jesus chose. These are like the main guys. The main guys were walking with Jesus, doing things for Jesus, serving Jesus, and yet here they're filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Man, I just look at that passage and go, whatever in the world we grew up hearing or believed or were taught, the apostles were lovers of Jesus in a prayer meeting for days, and then they had this next encounter, this next level interaction with God and the Spirit of God, where it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. You guys know the story. Everybody hears them speaking in tongues and going, these guys are drunk. And Peter stands up and goes, guys, it's 9 in the morning. How did we get drunk by 9? We're not drunk, okay? We're not drunk. We may look a little tipsy right now because have you ever plugged your little 5-volt power cord into a 10 billion volt God? You ever tried doing that before? Your little, you know, hair dryer of a capacity kind of deal, you plug it into God's eternal, internal, powerful source, the divine nature of God, boom, that's what happens. So of course, yeah, look, we look a little drunk. Probably look a little fried too. I mean, my goodness, we just got plugged into the greatest power, the power source that did Genesis 1, accuse us of being drunk, accuse us of whatever you want, until, come get some of this. You guys want some of this. Do you have any idea what it feels like to get plugged into the power of God that did Genesis 1, the Spirit of God hovering over the darkness and the deep, and boom, there's a planet? That God filled these people? And they were already lovers of Jesus yesterday? I just want some. I just want that. Whatever that is, sign me up for that. Whatever my theological background is, sign me up for that. These apostles that were lovers of the Lamb, followers of the truth, got filled with the Holy Spirit and then got accused of all sorts of funny business because the Holy Spirit, you can't touch him like this and it do nothing to you. It mess you up. And these guys were stumbling around talking all funny. They looked drunk because they couldn't, their frame couldn't handle what just happened to them. Pretty sweet deal. Well, one to one time deal. Now you've got these apostles, and I'm sure it takes them a little bit of time. They have a couple of debrief conversations. What in the world was that? Dude, I don't know. I was hoping you knew. Any side conversations Jesus had with any of you guys about what was going to happen here, speaking in tongues, all this crazy stuff? I feel so fried, I can hardly stand up. Man, me too. I mean, I just imagine the apostles had a little bit of debrief time, okay? They thought it through. They talked it out. They got a little bit of a handle on it so that they could walk out and pretend like this was normal, okay? Like, yes. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a good thing. Just imagine them trying to pass this thing on to their friends. You know, I mean, what a wild ride. Well, the apostles got a hold of this. They understood that this subsequent to salvation, so people getting saved, loving Jesus, followers of truth, going to heaven, Bible-believing Christians, that afterward, there was this thing called being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they began to send out members of their own to do ministry. And when they would go out and do ministry, they would follow this same pattern. Look at this passage in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Now this is Philip. You guys know Philip. He was one of the seven deacons. Philip goes to Samaria. And when Philip goes there, they accept the word of God. They come to know Jesus. Philip was a good preacher. Philip taught the true message of Jesus Christ. And so here we've got the aftermath. Acts 8, 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Peter and John, go check this out. Go see what happened down in Samaria. We heard that they accepted the word of truth. This isn't that they became Jews. We're talking about Jews. These guys are already in the Jewish culture. What they accepted, the word of truth, was the message that Philip had preached, which was the message of Jesus Christ. They'd received the word of truth. They are now followers of Jesus. So Peter and John, go check this out. See what we got. And when they arrived, they prayed for them. Okay? That they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. You've been saved, glass of water refreshed, gift of righteousness cleansed, but the Holy Spirit has not yet come upon any of you. Hey, you guys out there, any of you guys had the Holy Spirit come upon you? And they all give the eyebrow up, kind of lean in look, huh? Come upon us? What are you talking about? Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Right? Your Bible says that. They had simply been baptized. I don't know about you. When I got baptized, I thought it was kind of a big deal. I got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They dunked me under that water. That's a big deal for me. Yeah, I know. That's really good. You need that. That is, you have to have. But there's this thing, the second baptism. There's this other baptism, this baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've been saved, and I'm telling you, Philip wasn't going to baptize these guys into the name of Lord Jesus unless they were legitimately saved. They were saved. And these apostles show up and go, you want more? They go, more? There's more? Yeah. What do you mean there's more? Well, you've been baptized into the name of Jesus, right? Yeah. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit yet? Well, no. And it says here, Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. The testimony in Scripture is not too unlike mine. And that is, lover of Jesus, committed, passionate. And then somebody, a little messenger, somehow or the other, shows up and says, one way or the other, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and boom, filled with the Holy Spirit. Pretty powerful. Well, I'm going to skip over a couple pieces here because I want to make sure we've got time for ministry here at the end. I will, however, touch on this. Here's this really cool moment. This really cool concept, okay? And I will admit to you, I don't understand how all this stuff works. In fact, I'm a little scared of folks that have everything figured out because I just... I don't know, there's some mysteries that are a little tricky, that I think that the Word doesn't give us the full picture on, sometimes on purpose, and it takes some special revelation from the Lord. So I'll just tell you, I don't exactly understand how this next thing works, but I'll tell you that it's real, and that is this. After being baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you stay out in the sun long enough, it's possible for you to dry off. You stay out in the sun long enough, it's possible that you no longer have that wet all over you. You got the memory of it, but you're no longer filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this passage in Ephesians that I read to you earlier, it's a really important passage. It's Ephesians 5, 15 through 18, because it paints another interesting picture for us, and it's this. The Ephesian church, you can look in Acts chapter 19. Don't have time to do the history lesson for you now. I'll just give you kind of the cliff notes. In Acts chapter 19, the apostles show up. Paul shows up at Ephesus. And Ephesus gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? They are following Jesus. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, they tell them when Paul says, well, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, we've not even heard about this Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? And you say, oh, Paul says, well, then we got to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. He lays hands on them. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues and begin to prophesy. It's this really cool encounter. Now, here's Paul, the same guy who was there, who witnessed them getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He's now writing to the church of Ephesus sometime later. And he says this interesting statement to them. He says, be careful then how you live. Ephesians. You need to be careful how you live. Because there are ways you can live that are likened to you sitting out in the sun, drying off. You like being wet from being in the pool, going out and do a little bit of ministry. You need to be sure that you know where that pool is, and you know the path back to that pool, and you get back in that pool often. because you want to be careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This is somehow all connected to this interesting reality. It says, do not get drunk on wine. That's a waste of time. There is a way better way to get drunk. Don't get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these are guys that are already filled with the Holy Spirit as far as they already had that encounter. They had this subsequent to baptism encounter. Okay? They were saved. They loved Jesus. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. And now here's Paul, who cares about their souls, who cares about their active ministry. And he says this, you need to be careful how you live, and you don't want to do some foolish things. And he lists some foolish things. He says you don't want to live that way. Instead, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now again, this is the part that I don't understand exactly how all the ins and outs work. But somehow or the other, for the believer that's been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit again. And filled with the Holy Spirit again. And filled with the Holy Spirit again. And I'll tell you what, if you live a certain way, you might just stay full of the Holy Spirit. But you have to be careful how you live. And if you're not careful how you live, even if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you might find yourself drying off on the side of that pool. Well, it's actually good news. Because what it means is, wherever we're at, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is really good news. This is really good news. There's something about this carefulness. There's something about obedience. There's something about pursuing Jesus. Something about pursuing being filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So my encouragement to you today, when we do this ministry time, go for it. Well, I was already filled with the Spirit. Man, great. I'll tell you what, if you got as much as you want, sit in your chair. You want some more? I'm just saying, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus that he was very much in the know, had once been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, live in such a way that you would be filled again and again and again. Or that you'd even stay filled. Now, what's the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? So I'm selling you. Tonight's my sales pitch, you know. So I'm that salesman guy. And so we're talking about why be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the scripture actually gives us more than it's a cool thing, more than it happened. It actually gives us some clear why. Acts 1, 4 through 8. Remember that passage we were talking about waiting for the gift that the Father had promised? Well, here it is, the second part of that passage. Acts 1, 4 through 8. So stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Woo! You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Something has to do with the ministry of being a witness for Jesus. That doesn't mean you can't talk about Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Of course you can. This is the concept of being an anointed sent one. The concept of operating in power to proclaim the message. The difference between, remember my experience back at that conference, the gal walks up to me. Here's situation one, situation two. She comes up to me and she says, you know, God loves you. Awesome. I've got that. Let's see here, John. Yeah, okay, good, good. You know, he's got good plans for you. Okay, good. That's Jeremiah 29:11. Okay, I got that one. You're going to live forever. Okay, got that. Yeah, okay, good. Give me something more here. Well, that's a powerful testimony. If she comes up and tells me that, that is valuable. But it is of a different order when she comes up and tells me things no one can know about me. No one can know. She had power to be a witness. And at that point, I'm open. What else you got to say? Let me start the tape recorder, young lady. What else do you want to tell me today? Because you got the word of the Lord. There's something going on with you. You got power on you. Another person has got good Bible memory and good Bible knowledge, and that is valuable. But you got something, you got power on you. It's different. There's power on you. And that's what the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit coming upon us, the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's what all this is all about. Those are all synonyms, all synonymous for the same experience. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power to be a witness. You receive power to be a witness. And then you can go out and do things you couldn't do yesterday. Cool. So it is possible, more than possible. I know we will have so many brothers and sisters with us forever in heaven that were never baptized with the Holy Spirit and that were faithful witnesses their whole way through down here. They loved Jesus, that they served God, that they did all that they knew, that they loved God, that they read the Bible, that they were true. But I'm not just interested in getting the basic, getting the introduction. I want all that the Lord might have for me. And there's something that sounds pretty fun about when the Holy Spirit comes on me, being I will receive power. I mean, that just sounds fun, because the truth of the matter is, I love Jesus so much, I want to be a bold witness for him. I want to receive power. I'd like to be like that little gal and go and read somebody's mail, not so that I can be cool, but so that I can make impact in that life. And the truth of the matter is, when the Spirit of God is in operation through the gifts of the Spirit and one that's filled with the Spirit, there's a greater measure of impact. If you really want the best word for it, you could call it anointing. Anointing comes from God. Anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit. And anointing does not mean you're convincing. Anointing does not mean that you're smart. Anointing does not mean that you've got the entire Bible memorized. All of those are awesome, and you can do those in your own flesh. Anointing comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's something different. Become a powerful witness is the next piece of this. And then, let's see, I've got one more verse here that I want to look at. It's Ephesians 1. 17 through 19. This is another interesting, beautiful piece of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is an increased capacity for intimate interaction with the Holy Spirit. An increased capacity for relationship. An increased capacity for experiencing God and feeling Him and being able to have an intimate relationship with Him. And here's Paul, again, talking to Ephesus. I just love that Paul loved Ephesus so much. Here's Paul, and he says, I keep asking. You could say, I keep praying. I am a praying guy, and I don't stop praying for you, Ephesians. I've got something that I want for God to do for you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're lovers of Jesus. I just like you so much, I want you to have something that is one glorious step further or closer to God. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know Him better. And that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know His incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul, praying for a church that's been filled with the Holy Spirit already, he says, I love you guys so much, I just pray all day long for you. What do you pray, Paul? I pray that the Holy Spirit comes on you in wisdom and in revelation so you'll know God better. Not even just so you can go out and do ministry. Not even just so you can go out and do the work of the kingdom and go and be a witness. I want you to encounter God more. I want you to know Him. I want you to encounter Him. I want you to feel Him. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall on you in wisdom, in revelation of who He is, so you could know Him better, and that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you could know Him better. that you could know your calling, that you could understand the depths of the truths of who God is even more. I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on your brain so that you can feel God, know God, see God, experience God even more. And yeah, I'd like you to be witnesses too, but right now I just want your brain. I want your brain and your heart. I want it to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can encounter God more. Well, sign me up for that one too. Man, I'll tell you what, I mean, maybe, you know, I mean, on my weeks where I'm sick, you know, I've been kind of sick this week, I haven't been able to get out as much, but I'll tell you what, if I'm filled with the Spirit and I can still have this thing working for me, I may not even be able to go out and be a witness in any sort of a powerful way, but I can just sit there on my couch with my Bible open and have the Holy Spirit anoint the Word of God that I can feel God more, know the Son of God that I so deeply love. And have an anointed brain to do it, an anointed heart to receive it. That's just better, friend. That's better. It's not that you can't understand the Bible at all. It's that you want to understand it so much more. God, why don't you interpret the Bible for me? That's better. You know, it's not that you can't go out and be a witness at all. It's just that why wouldn't you want to be filled with the power of God to be able to go and see the gifts of the Spirit from the gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life to be able to impact people in a greater way? Well, I think we do. So how do we receive this Holy Spirit? Again, I know I'm talking to a room, I believe probably most, if not all of you, lovers of Jesus, followers of God, lovers of the truth. You are going to heaven, friend. You are followers of Christ. You're Christians. But this subsequent to salvation, being filled with the Holy Spirit, what's it look like? How's it work? Well, let's go back to that Luke 11:13 passage. I love Jesus, never afraid to just go ahead and let those punches go all the way through. No holding back on Jesus' punches here. He says, if you, though you're evil, well, Jesus, I mean, come on, like, soften it up a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you're evil, and if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give? Here's the idea. It's my daughter. She comes up to me, and though I'm evil, I know how to give good gifts to my daughter. She points at the delicious blueberry-flavored puff. She looks at it. Amy's been teaching her sign language, so she tries to do please. Doesn't always look exactly like please, but whatever. You hear me talking about you back there, creature? So my daughter, she's pointing at the blueberry puff, and she's going, please, I want the puff. I know how to give her a good gift. I'm giving her that puff, by golly. Grab that puff, stick it right in her mouth. She smiles, her big toothy grin. Like, I know how to do that. Jesus says, if you know how to do that, when your children ask you for stuff, I promise you, your Father in heaven knows how to give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask him for the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, that's good. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? We seek. We ask. We say, God, give me the Holy Spirit. Let me experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit. Real simple. Next, and this is another one of those, I don't have the science down. I just don't. I wish I did. When I do, man, I will call you. But the scripture is clear about the concept of laying on of hands. And it's not a foolproof method. Man, I don't know how many times I've laid hands on somebody and said, God, give them this thing. And they walked away kind of looking at me funny. But there have been times when I lay my hands on people and God did the exact thing that we were praying for. Whether a healing or impartation or a strengthening or whatever. The scripture is actually pretty clear about this. I'll give you a couple of verses here. Acts 19:6, 2 Timothy 1:6. Both of these passages are dealing with a transference of spiritual authority related to the Holy Spirit at the laying on of hands. If you just want to know what in the world is laying on of hands, well, my house growing up, we was lost. And laying on of hands, man, I was getting a whooping. But laying on of hands, according to the Bible, doesn't mean getting a whooping. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's getting an unwhooping. Acts 19:6 and 2 Timothy 1:6 say this. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Cool. 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now again, it's not a perfect science. I wish it was. I wish it was as simple as, okay, touch you, and everything's great. I don't know how it works. But I do know that the scripture makes it clear that there is a connection point between the laying on of hands and the impartation of the gift of the Holy Spirit and even subsequent gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. I mean, it's in your Bible. I mean, I keep pointing at this screen. You're probably not looking at that screen. It's kind of confusing. So I'll look at this screen. These scriptures in your Bible talking about, and this is for faith building, honestly. That's really what this is for. It's to help you get a picture in your head of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who've got gifts of the Holy Spirit, laying their hands on you and imparting the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's laying on of hands. Now I'll tell you this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has a plan that is different than our plan. And by sometimes I mean most times. Some are filled with the Holy Spirit effortlessly. I showed up at a conference, didn't know what it was, I had no idea what happened. And I walked out of there filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how is that fair? It's just not. I didn't know what was going on. I'm shaking, going, what in the world's going on? Somebody had to come up and tell me what was happening to me. Friend, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. Great, what does that mean? I mean, I had no clue. Some are filled with the Holy Spirit effortlessly. Others must seek earnestly for some time. You know, so many of the passages of Scripture are talking about the answer to prayer. It's not an instant answer sometimes. Many times. It's seek and keep seeking. Ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. Some must earnestly seek for some time before they're filled. Some are filled the first time somebody lays their hand on them. Others, it takes multiple times. My point, there really aren't any rules. Because the Holy Spirit apportions just as He determines. 1 Corinthians 12:11. I don't have the PowerPoint on it, but it just says that the Holy Spirit apportions just as He determines. It's up to Him. I think it's up to us to open the door. It's up to us to present the opportunity. It's up to us to give the, if you will, the altar call. It's up to us to create, to teach it, to talk about it, to lay hands, to open, to seek, to hunger. It's up to us to do that, but it's up to the Lord to do what the Lord's going to do. And the truth of the matter is, even in the Bible, He did one thing here and did something a little different there, and He did something completely different over there, and all of them were God. Why I share that? Because we're going to pray here in a minute. We're going to have a ministry time. In fact, if I can have my ministry team come up. Lead team, if you guys will come up here and stand with me. Andrew's going to play a little bit of worship, lead us into worship, play some instrument here while we're kind of getting our hearts postured. And in a minute, we're going to have a time where if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time in your life or the 50th time in your life, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we'd love a chance to be able to pray with you and ask the Lord to partner with that desire in your heart. But I want to tell you a couple of things that are so important that we understand. You can't earn this. You couldn't earn your salvation. Any of you who tried didn't get very far. You can't earn this either. Why is that important? Because there's some of you tonight that might be thinking, you have no idea how epically fail of a week I had. You just don't know what I've been up to in my personal life lately. You just don't know. I haven't been reading the Bible much lately. My heart hasn't been, you know, that connected to God. I mean, I did this. I said, you can't earn this. So if you're thinking, well, I need to have these things in order for the Lord to be able to look upon me and give me this gift, I just tell you, you got your theology backwards, because that's not how it works. Second, I'll tell you that it's really possible, and Andrew, why don't you go ahead and start, if you don't mind. As we're in this time here, as we're kind of entering into a time of ministry, I want to encourage you to do a little bit of soul searching on the following points. So if you guys want to bow your heads, whatever is a good posture for you as you kind of want to process through some of this as I kind of finish up here. There's a good chance that many of you grew up in environments where this was not talked about, or when it was talked about in a manner that sounded like it was a bad thing instead of a good thing. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an awesome thing. You might have some judgment in your heart and don't even know it. You might have some judgment. You might in your heart really go, that's weird. And especially that whole speaking in tongues part that was just what the Bible said happened to a lot of them. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, they started speaking in tongues. I'll tell you, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't speak in tongues. I had so much judgment in my heart against the gift of tongues, it took me a whole year to work through that judgment before the Lord even would give me that gift. I was so filled with judgment. I thought the gift of tongues was the weirdest thing. I had so much judgment in my heart. And you know what? The Lord in His kindness, He didn't force it on me. So I know a little bit about having judgment in my heart. And I'll just tell you, you might have some. And I just want to encourage you. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for judging that the Holy Spirit, that the gift of the Holy Spirit, that being filled with the Holy Spirit, that even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of which is the gift of tongues, I got judgment in my heart. God, I've always thought that was weird or not real or not good or not biblical. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit loves to forgive. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sin, and He is faithful and just to cleanse you, to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit will wash you clean. You might even have some people in your family or immediate connections in life that think that the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not a good thing. It's not a blessing. Maybe it's not even real. I just want to encourage you, pray blessings over them. Right now, just in your little moment with the Lord, and just go, God, I don't want any judgment in my heart. I want all that You have for me. That's a great prayer to pray for the Lord, to the Lord. The safest person on the planet you can talk to is God. Talk to God about this situation. Go, God, I want all You have for me. Maybe you pray blessings over any of those that have got judgment, against these things. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. It's very, very helpful. And I just want to tell you, there is no reason to feel any anxiety whatsoever. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Holy Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and I can promise you, you can trust Him. We're not going to do anything weird to you. We're going to pray with you. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to push you over. We're not going to try to jumpstart you. I mean, all we're going to do is pray with you. And if you want prayer, in just a moment, we'll have you come up. And we just want to pray with you and ask the Lord to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. We do this ministry time. And I want to say one last thing. Because the Lord is the Lord, do not get discouraged. Do not come up here with some expectation of what He has to do or not have to do. You know, one of the things that was a problem in my life as I was trying to receive the gift of tongues, because I wanted it. It's in the Bible. It says it's good. Paul says he did it more than anybody else. Why would Paul do something that's a bad thing? I wanted the gift of tongues, and I had this expectation that unless God took control of me and made my mouth say weird words, there was no way I was going to do anything. And I actually found myself fighting the Holy Spirit a few times where I felt impressions in my stomach. I don't know how else to say it except I'll just say it the way I always say it. It felt like verbal vomit. I just had words that wanted to come out of my mouth. And they weren't English. I just felt it. I felt in my stomach. I felt words. And they wanted to come out. And I was like, this is so weird. I'm not doing it unless You make me do it. I just want to encourage you, if you feel the Spirit leading you to go witness to a person or to say weird words, just follow the Holy Spirit. If you feel the Holy Spirit leading you, stirring you, just speak it out. Speak it out under your breath. Just quietly. That's fine. That's great. I want to encourage you to come up here with an expectation that God would touch you, but to let Him decide what that's going to look like. So if you guys want to, I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll have anybody that wants to come up to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whether first time or 50th time. Father, we just ask You tonight.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.